The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Jen, are we podcasting?
We're podcasting. We're super excited. So we have basically our second.
You are our second, but officially our first guest because we used a friend to try out having a guest on and
We blew it. So basically,
Why?
She said three things because we just asked questions and then answered them for her.
Ourselves.
And it was like we talked the entire time. So tell us to shut up at any point if we are not letting you guys answer questions.
Also, let's introduce these lovely ladies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jen's going to give you her best daytime talk introduction.
We'd like to welcome to the I'm Mom So Hard podcast, the legendary Kat and Nat. Say hi.
Hi.
Should I go through, this is how new we are.
No.
Should I say like where we can find Kat and Nat?
I don't think you should give them anybody's address if that's what
you usually do that at the end.
Yeah, that's at the end. All right.
Yeah, fine. At the end.
Well, these are the OGs of mom podcasting.
Comedy,
like they're multi-hyphenates, if I may use that word. Moms.
Yeah, me neither.
Hyphenates?
It means you're badass bitches with a lot of like hyphenates pieces of pie to your pie.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of pie.
Hey, we were just talking about the old French kissing and I was really into that.
We can get back to that. Yeah. But let's do the business first is you guys.
I love all the sheets you have to go through to get there. You know what? Due diligence at its, we're the same. What the fuck are you doing here? Who are you again?
I'm trying so, well, I don't want to understate you ladies at all.
No, I think you did it. You said legendary. That was enough for me.
But you said also like hypeness.
Yeah. I love what you said though. You said, okay, so they explain themselves. They bring entertainment, understanding, community, and joy. And may I say it's to womanhood and motherhood. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes.
It's a tricky question when people say like, if they don't know what you do, what do you do? And I ask my kids all the time. And I was just actually on a field trip and I love asking kids what they do for their parents do for a living.
Yes.
Totally. It's the best.
Oh, it's so funny. So then, and then I was sitting there across from my son. I'm like, wait, what do you think dad does for a job? And then he was like, oh, he makes merch.
Merch.
That's not what my husband does. And I said, what amazing. Do I do? And he said, you're a comedian. I'm like, so nice of you to say, what a compliment. He's like, that's right. Right. I'm like, yes. Tell everybody that we are comedians.
I go, when in doubt, just say your mom's an author because some people, they think that's impressive, even though like not anyone can be an author, but you know what I mean? People can grasp that even though we forget to talk that we wrote about books, but I mean, we wrote books. So I'm like, when in doubt, if you like are in like a parent or a serious meeting and you don't want to say my mom's a shit show on the internet,
right.
Say she's an author.
And then they go, what did she write about?
My daughter just said to me today, and this is a memory burned in our children's brains, and we keep trying to redirect them because they say it the same way every time. And I don't know if they're like messing with us, which I assume, but they were with us on our first tour and we ended each show wearing our Spanx. And so one time we brought them to curtain call because the shows are rated and we didn't want them to hear us obviously talk shit about them. So we brought them to a curtain call so that they could see how it worked. And it just so happened we were in the Spanx when when we were coming off set and Eleanor, my daughter, was looking at us like, oh God. Horrifying. And so then she went to school and told her teachers that mommy makes money wearing naked clothes.
Yes,
and she still refers to them as naked clothes. And I'm like, here's what you don't know. I look better with these on than I do when I'm naked. So this is like, this is a better choice for everybody. But yes, we get it. Having them define what you do is a very fun way of figuring out how they perceive you.
In my favorite was the kid, and he's just dead serious, like the whole time, the whole trip. And he goes, my mom doesn't work. She just cooks for me.
That's hilarious.
What did you do?
How dare you?
And he put a chicken nugget in his mouth and he said, it doesn't work for cooks for me.
Amazing.
Like, oh, that poor woman. That's what he thinks his mom does.
Mine think I do not cook for them. And that is accurate.
That's accurate.
I microwave a little bit. So can we go back to, read you guys were, you guys were friends in high school.
Yep.
Is that true?
No, it's all a lie.
I love that. Golly gee, that's a long time ago. Not saying that, but I'm just saying like
5 years ago.
That's a long 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Becoming fast friends.
Then you reconnected when you had kids. So tell us how that happened.
Yeah. Because, you know, in the time, you know, we were like, we're the Facebook babies. I'm sure you guys are too. When you like have Facebook with like the first thing where you like, it was when it became out of university and then you could like talk to your friends because it started off as a university college thing. And I remember you would kind of follow, like that's when you would upload 100 pictures from your night onto like the Facebook reel.
Yeah.
Like you would upload your whole camera situation. And
they're like, look how good my boobs look in this tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hope your ex-boyfriend is on there. Yeah, I get it.
And you would like update your status, get engaged.
Like, it's complicated.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So after high school, you know, we'd always stayed in touch, like seeing each other at bars, on bars, like, you know, kind of like passing, but we reconnected right when I got pregnant and she had just had a baby. Or actually we reconnected right when she was pregnant and I was getting married. Like we started to go for lunch together and I didn't invite her to my wedding because she was pregnant and I had no pregnant people at my wedding.
And like, apparently it was like the funnest, most legendary wedding ever. But I did tell her, I was like, cause I was there and I liked her and she was getting married and I was married and nobody was really married or having babies. I was like, you should just get a baby so that we could, you know, cause now I'd have a friend with a baby.
And I was
just, no.
And I was supposed to like, you know, take a year to like,
you were going to a wedding.
I was Sweden.
Yeah. The next year.
And I got pregnant. I didn't really think about it. I was like, let's just do it. And then it just, I was like, oh shit. It happened like one time and it works. You know, no one really tells you it can happen quickly.
It can.
Before you get married. I just want you guys to know the math. It can happen. You can be 5 months pregnant at your wedding. Did you know that?
That's how my sister-in-law was for sure.
It was great. Yeah. I was like, this dress doesn't make me look like a belle. It's fine.
Oh my God.
I'm not showing at all.
So 9 months later I had a baby and then
I was like, thank God, let's do this thing.
And then we had a play date and literally never left. That was literally the end story. Like we had one play date and then like again tomorrow, again tomorrow, again tomorrow, again tomorrow. And then that's it.
And we would just stay together, like even do dinner and sometimes bath time together. And then just like go home to put the kids to bed because we never wanted to be alone with the kids because it was like,
it's
so
hard.
Scary.
Now, when did you, I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times because we get asked this a lot too, but I think it is the like romantic, like meet cute of like, when did this thing, this friendship and this love become something that you put on the internet? How did that all come to be? Like, what was the first thing?
11 years ago. 11 years ago. We, you know, it started as like Facebook groups because we would do events in real life. So we would like actually do events in IRL, in real person.
Sell tickets,
bring in
experts,
like have fun.
Oh,
have
cool. Cocktail.
No kids.
And
no husbands.
Everyone's like, oh, I wish you could come to my city. I wish you could come to my city. So we started live streaming 11 years ago out of a software out of Germany before like Instagram was just like a photography thing. Like nothing was really going, but we did it through a website. And we would have like 300 people. And then when Facebook Live became a thing, we were so naturally like, just like transitioned.
It was transitional.
Facebook Live.
Yeah. And you guys crushed those. My God. You guys did those. Was there a time you were daily. Doing one a day?
Daily. Yeah, every day. Daily. Yeah. We made it our job.
Without getting paid. And then
so good.
Ironically, we got offered in Toronto where we live. This is the best. You guys are going to appreciate this because you've toured before. A theater, like a really nice theater, is like, we'll sponsor and pay you a lot of money. And we'll give you the theater for free. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay you to come and do a show here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to stream it for you. And mm-hmm. all you have to do is just come and do a show. And we're like, okay, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So it was like maybe 500 people. And then we thought we'd have a cocktail party after. Like we got free booze, like
sponsors, free food.
It was like a massive party. We thought it was like so much fun. Fast forward, we do our show. We have like, it's mayhem. It's like strippers that start day one of our show. Like, you know, we have like all of these entertainment acts. And Nat and I are like, let's go and like have a cocktail party, like out into the lobby with everybody.
Because we didn't really think about like who had bought the tickets. We just kind of thought they would just be like, just like us. Like it would be no difference. Yeah. We'd go out there and party with them.
And we walked out and we got fucking mobbed, Like the security. We didn't even have like a secure, we had nobody. And somebody's like, and then the security guard literally grabs us by our things. Is like, you can't go out there. We're like, what? It was so weird.
Our families were like, what is this? And we were like, what is this? Like, why do they feel this way for us? You know? And it really made you stop and think like what these people that you don't even know are like so excited to see you.
Yeah.
So we're like, maybe we'll do a show. And then our agents, WME, were like, well, you guys have done one show. Try a few more, which we did on our own called like.
They're like, don't get fancy, ladies.
We called Wilbur. I'm like, can we do a show? They're like, yeah, our little tiny team of like two interns and us put on a fucking show. We walked out without mics. Her husband's like, you guys don't have mics. We're like, put the back on. And then we went to Red Bank and they both sold out in like fucking 12, like so fast. And our agents are like, I guess you're ready for a show. And we're like, okay. So naive, not understanding the beast of touring or like everything we've done. We've been really inexperienced and kind of just been like, looks like fun. And then we just kind of end up in situations because we don't know much. And then you say yes. And here we are on our like, I feel like 200th show or something, going back out on tour in March. I don't like, it just seems to be a very, organic, which is such a cheesy thing. But I think when you don't know a lot and you don't overthink, it kind of grows on its own. If that makes
sense.
Don't
you think because of that, because of your nature to be like that, don't you think that's like a great way for like other ladies that are like trying to do anything that like, clearly you're not like, you know what the goal is? Perfection. You're like, mm-hmm. you know what? This seems like fun. We're going to throw it up and see what sticks. And also you are moms. So you're obviously your focus is on other things most of the time. So then you just have this like sort of pseudo bravery to like go into something, not knowing, because if you did know, you probably wouldn't have done it. You would be like, oh my God, it has to be perfect. We have to think it through.
Guys,
I think that happened to us all the time.
We thought the amount of money we made, we didn't take out expenses. Like we didn't think about the expenses. Like, you know, I'm like, well, God, we made so much money. And then someone finally is like, actually, you guys, like, you have to take out what you spent to get there. And we're like, oh, right.
Oh, that was like, that number's not that impressive.
Like, but,
I
you
still
know,
don't like to think about that.
Yeah.
No. You know,
it's just, we were really, and I really, it's not to diminish because touring is such a hard job and big job. And for comedians, because, you know, I think we're funny. I don't think we're comedians.
TJ thinks so.
I know, but like comedians who write shows and then go to like and practice and do improv, like that is your innermost vulnerability on a stage where we get to go, really we're hosting a night out rather, and we get to have best friend conversations. But I really do admire people like you guys who have an actual show where you have practiced it and go out, and it's not easy. Like it is, it's a fucking talent that we don't have, but we're great at pouring champagne on ourselves and popping that shit and strippers and confetti and fire and fun.
I want to hear more about this too, because I've heard about the strippers. Our friend Julie went to one of your shows and she was like, they got strippers. Like what, how do you incorporate them into the, your lap, or how do you
do it? Is
it
better if we show up to a show and will they dance on us? Is it like, I'm just
because,
asking for a friend.
Yeah. I mean, you can. I mean, if you guys came to a show, they would definitely dance on you because we would pull you up. But we always just wanted to design the show to be like, you know, moms don't get to go out that much and don't get to have that much fun. So what would, if we were to go out one night and have everything that we love and that is so fun and we could forget about everything, what would it be? So we added all those elements, and then of course, strippers,
you know,
because that's just the ultimate, like, hilarious, like, you know, men that aren't your husband with their clothes off being sexy and they have muscles. And so they do it. They do a show for us. Because of course we want a show.
Wait, strippers. Do they go on the road with you? Do they carry your luggage? Do they wear tight
clothes? They come on the bus with us.
They go on the bus with you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do they get annoying? Like, no, is that the thing? Does the allure go away?
They're like family.
God. Now we know them so well.
We really did curate like a group of them that became like, we've had some of them for like, we're going on like, I feel like 6 years, which just blows my mind. But we've had one from day one, and he is from the Bronx, and he, like, our kids know him. They FaceTime him. They're like, Romeo. And like, he's so good. His girlfriend has come on the road with us. Like,
she's amazing.
Really, when you get to know people's story, and you know, they choose to be strippers. This is not like, he's like, I love stripping.
He also does real estate, but he loves stripping.
Yeah. So
it's you're stripping on two different jobs right there.
Objectifying him.
Yeah. So it's not
objectifying
like,
him. I want to know how hot he is. That's all.
Oh, he's very hot. Like, women go crazy. He's ripped. He's well endowed.
she gets real weirded out by dongs. I love it. I love
it. You have to see it in the pants. You know?
Good God.
Oh my God, the donger. Yeah, so, and our husbands know they come with us and they know them. And like, they're sort of like, now we're like, we were like, which one would you choose? And they're like, neither. You two are disgusting. You know, so
yeah.
Really, the fantasy for us is not the same as it is for women because they're fun. You know, they give you permission to have fun. Mm-hmm. Let loose. Yeah. Like our shows are really just about permission to have fun and let go. And we've been in such a pressure cooker for so long that like, just to let go. And permission. That's all it is. When you see women having fun, like, yes.
Oh, I want to do that right now. Oh, I felt that.
Yes.
Yeah, soon.
When you all started doing, well, more so like when you found each other again and were like, you kind of like spent all of this time together. And then you were saying that first show that you did, all of these like women who are just like you. Can you like describe what the special sauce was like between the two of you that you were able to like spread to the other women?
Guys, this has been years. I have tried to find this reason why. I literally have spent years. And before we go out on stage, I'm like, Natalie, why are they here? And she's like, Catherine, stop it.
I'm like, don't say that right because, before I go out there.
You know, you want to know because
you
want to know so you can actually like give it to them why they're there.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is right or if I'm like correct on this. Long story, I ended up at a DMV for a car accident and there was two men in front of me and they had this relationship that was so intimate. I knew they weren't lovers. Okay. But the way they were taking care of each other made me watch them. And I was like, I was obsessed with watching them and the way they talked to each other. It's like, I'm not leaving you until we get this thing. It's like, no, buddy, go home. It's good. And they, just the way they were talking and this relationship was like, you just couldn't help but watch it. So I finally like, okay, give me your story. So they were cops. And they had been cops together for like 30 years and they had spent every day together. And I go, are your wives jealous of each other? They go, yeah, they are, because the way they could connect. And I feel like when I watched them, they made me feel like there was good in the world because aww. It was such a pure relationship of just like, you know, I think that what we do is we give people a feeling of that, you know, things are okay because I really do think that when you see us, it brings comfort to people in a really weird way. And I don't know what that is other than.
Well, a lot of them say, you know, like I used to have a friend like that, but I moved away or she died or whatever, or I have a friend like that. And you remind me so much of my best friend, or I haven't found that yet, but I really hope to find that. But in the meantime, watching you guys makes me feel like I have a friendship just being a part of your world.
And then the younger kids, like TikTok's all like, I think we give hope. It's kind of like when you used to watch The Wedding Story before you got married on TLC or like The Baby Story. It's like, you want to see what's your future. So I feel like there's like different stages that are watching.
And kids, you know, like being a grown up and like thinking about all that when you're young, you're like, it's probably not going to be any fun. And then they see us still having fun and they're like, oh my God, like they tag their friends. I'm going to be like, this is what we're going to be like. And we're moms.
They sneak into our show, you guys, and they're 15 years old. They pretend they're older. And then they wait for us by the bus after all the TikTok ones. And then they're standing there. And I'm like, as a mom, I'm like, I'm not getting on this bus and I'm not putting you in. Like, you have to get in a cab or I have to watch you get home because I'm not leaving you as in a parking lot at 15 years old. You know what I mean? Like, So yeah, no, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's an appropriate show for you.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, can you guys tell us the ages of your kids? You each have four?
Four, three. They're three all between seven and 13.
You have seven and 14. Somebody just French kissed for the first time. That's your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. And then who has four?
Me. I got the girl and I have three boys.
Oh my God. And then you have
it's
three.
It's so much. I didn't think about it. You know, I thought about having babies and I just banged them out really fast. And then I like living
literally,
in that
literally,
world. Yeah.
Literally.
And then I was just living in that world. I mean, you know, you can't possibly know what it's going to be like to have like four big people in the house.
Yeah.
Here I am. And it's just like motherhood, right? You just learn, you have to learn as you go. But
yeah,
I pictured them older, like out of the house,
grown out.
Like adults.
Yeah.
But I didn't picture them now.
My son is 12 and he's starting to look like I can see like what he's going to look like as like a young man. And it freaks me out. But also this is the first time ever I've had these thoughts because he's been a little bit of a
asshole
lately. And I say that with love because he has been rude and he's definitely trying to like draw lines in the sand.
I say it because I was there yesterday.
Yeah, he was being a super
snot. That word.
And I used many words. And so I thought to myself for the first time ever, I was like, oh, this is why moms say, I can't wait for you to get married because then you're her problem. Like, I can't wait for you. Like, I'm in the phase now where my kids, and also his size, he's big. He takes up space. My daughter's almost 10. She's getting big. She takes up space. My husband's big. He takes up space. So what was like this compact family of four that felt like you could sort of live inside of a Honda Civic? We now need like an RV. It's crazy. Just literally mass. So I cannot imagine having four, but I could. Because I'm Irish Catholic.
Yeah, I would love
but
to.
But two feels like two kids and two dogs for me feels like a mess.
Two dogs. It's a lot of bodies and they're not done growing. And their dad is 6'4". So they are going to, and like, you know, two of them share a room and they're small now, but like they're gonna be really big.
That one it's maybe
just,
not.
Just a crazy thing to think about. Yeah.
Can I just say a thing that we're dealing with in our house this last week specifically is everyone's feet smell. Like we're not in like puberty yet, but it's genetically my fault because I have really stinky feet. But like every room of our house that has a pair of shoes in it is like disgusting. And I wasn't prepared for that entering motherhood. There's no, just
guys,
like,
we're from Canada. Do you know what that means? Hockey what? Bags. Do you know what hockey smells like? My daughter walks into the rink and she's like, this, I'm going to barf because it, all it is gross man smell. And the girls,
their like, hands, their gloves, like when they take their gloves off, it like stink. Smells up the whole car.
Their room
it's so
stinks,
bad.
Everything stinks.
I've been waiting. I just figured this out this weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
That I've been smelling my second son's underarms.
Yes, you told me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went and nothing. I was doing it all summer. Yep. Trying to smell for the BO. Smell like, I mean, he stinks. He's got stinky farts and stinky feet, but he hadn't gotten the BO. And he was playing mini sticks downstairs and he came up and I was like, this could be the moment. I'm like, I smell something. And I put my nose in his armpit and he had that real BO smell. And then I did it to the little one and he did too. And I'm like, okay, everybody.
Settle down now. We've everybody, all got BO. So we've all
no wonder like moms no, need a show. Yeah. No wonder they need a show to go out and just see stuff. Cause we're smelling armpits just to see like we do smell tests just to make sure everybody's clean. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've picked up clothes and been like, oh yeah, that's bad. Like, why would I do that to myself?
The 7-year-old, that's going to be like a different, like, evolutionary beast because he's got to survive, right? He's the youngest. Like, are you just like, you're on your own, buddy?
So mine is, she's a girl. So mine's a baby, the 7-year-old. She's the youngest of all of them. And she is a different, she is one to be reckoned with. She is fierce. All of them are afraid of her. Like, all of them collectively are afraid of, I don't know. Do you guys have any 7-year-old girls over there?
I have a 7-year-old girl. I was going to say she's a dirty hippie. She smells terrible. And she, like, you don't want to cross her because she will
they're
diabolically like fuck with you. Yeah.
They're a new breed where they're just so confident and like they're not afraid. It is the little girl of like the little princess girl. I have not seen that in a long time.
I couldn't believe it. She walked into my house for Super Bowl. Kat was at her brother's house and she walked in without any of her family. I had adults, people over. She walked right into my house, sat down beside my mom and just started chatting. My mom's like, she talked more to me than her oldest daughter ever has in like one sitting.
She's not a sweetie pie. There's no like sweetie cutie pie. No, she's like
but
a woman.
She's really cute.
Just really fun. She's not
well,
like,
that comes with being the youngest too. I think you just get like handled.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yeah.
Handled. Because I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest and it gives me so much joy, even with my adult siblings. Like, they'll send through on our like family text some super stupid thing and I can't wait to weigh in on it. It's like, my sister sent this. It was my parents' 50th anniversary and my youngest sister, who, God love her, has so many feelings. And she like sent through a voice or a video to my parents wishing them happy 50th. And it was like so syrupy and like, oh my gosh, I just want to say how much I love you.
Typical
as parents.
Oldest child right here.
I love you so much. You've been you're such a good representation of a strong relationship.
Oh, shit.
And so then I sent a video message and it was just me singing The Rose as awful as I can. I said, some say love.
No. That's so good.
I could literally tell that my sister was like in her room having like a full like 5-year-old tantrum at 41 years old. She's like, I don't know what that is. Like, she just it gives me such joy.
But they're far apart in age. So she counts as like an only child too. So,
well, Matthew's 4 years younger than me, and then Megan
he's middle, so we don't count
middle
him.
Matthew.
We don't count the middle.
Yeah,
Matt,
middle's like whatever. Middle's
Matt,
are like just
yeah.
My brother sends another Nerf gun to our house. I'm gonna just.
They're kind of fun though.
No, I just threw
so
all
fun,
of
but
out.
We have 1,000,000, and I find those damn bullets everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're so expensive. Those bullets,
they're,
you know, they're not giving them away.
So expensive.
I know.
Also, they think they can just throw them away after one use. I'm like, what do you think? We're billionaires.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Doing
exactly.
That. Okay. I have a funny question.
Oh, you do? Oh,
can I ask
funny
question?
No, mine are businessy questions. So you ask.
Can I? I was thinking about you guys because there's not many duos out there and I think it's really fun to talk to another duo. So I was like, you guys are like work wives, the same, and friend wives, the same as we are. Cause like, I make the joke that like, if you found my phone and you looked at my photos, you would be like, what a nice lesbian couple. She is so in love with her wife. Yeah. Who's the random guy, one every 75 pictures with the beard?
Yeah.
Like, it's totally. So, So obviously traveling together, touring together, being together all the time, you get to know each other so, so well. What would you say, like, Kat, what would be the thing that you know that Nat would be the most annoyed by? Like, if you were going to run interference for your friend, you're like, this thing's going to make her crazy. What would that be? And vice versa.
Okay. Sometimes it's like people that I know annoy her. People, like when people talk too long, like if it's like, you know, like it's like she does not like, she'll just hang up on you. She's like, okay, thanks guys. And like, she'll be in charge of the Zoom call and everyone's like, and then it just goes. Or like when she emails, like, what is this? And then I'm like, good morning. Like I have to go. I'm like, don't worry, because people really get offended by, you know, sometimes like the not the nicest, like, you know, if you're not like, hi, how are you?
Abrupt.
She's abrupt. Abrupt.
And yes. No niceties.
Yeah, when someone's like talking.
You also know, never leave me alone with a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless it's a stripper. and then but leave me alone. Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, she doesn't. But you've gotten better with that. Before, she wouldn't even take an elevator if a man was in the elevator. I'd have to go in with her. So yeah, talking too much is really annoying for her.
And what about for you?
Shitty hotel.
Oh my God.
But I just run my own interference.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She won't stay at a shitty hotel, which is really score for me.
I can't.
Why
I can't do
should
it.
Should you? No, you shouldn't do that.
I just went into it. And she was like, because they put the whole team up at this hotel. And then she walked in and she's just like,
some of the small towns. There's not a lot
she's like, no, I'm like, well, I feel bad if we leave. And
I walked in and I saw people care on the bed.
No, that was another one. Oh, that was when we were in England on tour and we got an Airbnb for the whole team. Cause you know, that'd be a great way to save money. And then she saw a hair and she's like, we're out. And we left them all behind. But the one time she's like, no, I can do it. It's fine. And then I just looked at her face. I go, we can go.
We gotta go.
Yeah, I definitely. The room was already paid for. And I was like, I'm fucking out. I can't, I mean, you know what? I'm not doing this.
You know, get the best people, hotels. Being on the road is such a tough thing. And there are these creature comforts that you get to know. And like, we try to stay at the same hotel chain because I don't want to learn a new remote. Like I want to go in and have, like, we like having a bar at the hotel. We like, because when you're away from your family and you're away from the things, you know, you want those things to be there. So we agree on the hotel thing. I feel like there's been some hotels where I walked in and I was like, my carpet is literally wet. Not like, hey, this has just been cleaned. Like there's been a leak in plumbing and it's like sopping wet.
There was the cat pee.
We left that one. Like there's been a couple where I'm like, I'm 100% sure that that is investigator tape around that room.
Smells like dead body.
And not an elevator and four flights up and it's in Atlanta and we're leaving. So we've definitely done that. I think Jen runs interference for me. And she's always like, hi, can I get an extra hotel key, please?
She loses every hotel key. And I also, I feel like I need to say to the person checking us in, like, it's not going to be by an elevator situation, is it? Because she...
Oh, you hate elevators.
Here's everything.
I don't do well with a lot of noise.
Why don't you bring a sound machine?
Because I like to be... somebody that has something to complain about. And
no, she's not a good sleeper.
So I'm not a great sleeper.
Earplugs. She has like her.
I'm like high strung. I'm ADHD as hell. So like,
what have you tried? There's so many options.
We have so many drugs.
What do you mean? Drugs? All of them.
Like blueberries.
I wish pot worked, but it just makes me feel like I think everybody's going to try to kill me and I get really cold and really paranoid. And I ate pot during a show once and I was like, well, this won't kick in
immediately, but it did.
Yeah. And then
shut up. How much fun was that?
Not at all. I wanted to hide under the table in 11 minutes. Jen looked at me and she goes, just keep going. Just keep going. Because like,
oh my God, I love this. We need to do this.
No, I'm not. No,
no, no, no. It was accidental.
If you both do it, that's one thing. But she had done it. It was like a pot brownie that she ate out of somebody's purse. And it was, she ate a lot of the brownie. And we know because our tour manager, whose name is Brady Bunch, he's obviously, that's a guy that smokes a lot of pot. He was like, you ate a lot of that.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to be really high.
Wait, you did it before a show knowing there was pot in it?
No, I did it during the show.
Halfway through.
Why did they gave it to you and you're like, this is fine. I'll eat it live.
We have a thing in our show where we go through the women's bags. And so I went through a bag and obviously if you eat the food, it's really fun. And so I found a bag of brownie.
People have food in their bag.
All of them.
Like, a whole like a take home sandwich and stuff.
We've eaten everything. And we pile drive it. It's my favorite. We have a woman storm the stage once because we ate her carrot cake from Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And she'd been saving up her Weight Watchers points. And so she was going to eat it later. Yeah. And so when I say I ate it and I could see her running towards the stage, I ate it like I was trying to. Yeah.
We gave her money.
We gave her money. I gave her $20 in cash. And I had like all of the cream cheese frosting all over my mouth.
God, I love that.
So I devoured a brownie thinking it was so funny. And I was looking at the group of women and they saw me eating it and they had their hands on their head. And I was like, it's just a brownie. I've had Cheesecake Factory cake. This is better. This isn't better. It tastes weird. And so then Jen smelled it and was like, oh God. And then Brady was like, oh God. And this is halfway through the show.
Yeah. We went to intermission and he's like, you might have a couple minutes before it kicks in. And then she was like how many minutes? He goes 20. So she immediately goes, has it been 20 minutes? And I was like, oh shit.
What did you feel like?
I felt like, woo, woo, woo. You know, when you look at an audience and you sometimes, I don't know if this ever happens, but Jen's super funny and I can listen to the same bits over and over. And sometimes I forget myself. I forget that I'm.
We both do that. Like we're watching TV
each other. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I think that's my line. And I'll look at her sometimes and I'll go, I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Right. Yeah. I love that though.
So she was doing this really funny bit. It's really cool because I can see her like silhouette because I'm from behind. And so I can see all the people, all the women watching, and I've got smiles. So I'm like having this moment and I'm high as fuck. And I'm like behind. So I just kept like shrinking back. All of a sudden I found myself behind the cocktail table that we have. And I never do that. And I had my hands on the table and I was like, oh no, they're all looking at me.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And then I got super cold and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And then everybody knew I was high. My eyes looked like someone had like put like ocular, they were like so
barf. You should have barfed.
I don't know, on stage. Oh. Then afterwards, I just had my head on the couch. Like we had to do a meet and greet pictures. And I was like, literally the photos are fantastic.
Did you tell everyone you were high?
They all told me.
She has no.
They were waiting for it.
Absolutely has no like poker face whether she's high or not. But she would come up to me fully mic'd and be like, I think I'm kicked in.
Yeah. Like during the show.
Am I acting like I'm high right now?
And that would have been the best show ever.
It was pretty funny. And then we had a 3-minute costume change where.
That happened in Vegas.
This happened twice because I ate cookies once and I ate brownie once. Well, but the cookies were hard to tell. But
they didn't smell like
pot. They didn't smell like pot. And that one I thought, oh, I'm fine. And I was fine until like 2 minutes before the show was over. And that's right when we do this big costume change where we put on 80s workout clothes. And so I was in the back. And normally, you know me, because I'm high strung, I take great pride in doing a 2-minute costume change in 15 seconds. So I like took off all my clothes and put it on. And then this one, I was like, isn't this cool what we do? It's neat to be here.
Like, Jen's like trying to get her shoe on. Like, you know, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Like a trip.
What if we just got all these women on a cruise ship and Jen is like bent over going, put your foot in these pantyhose.
It was like dressing a baby.
That's so much fun.
Oh my God. You guys should just do one high. That would be so fun.
No, man. No. I can't. It's in my heart races. I think
we do. Well, so this is maybe an interesting question. Do you guys get nervous before you do the shows? Cause I mean, you do feel the pressure of like, you want to like take care of these women and give them a good time.
You kind of get drunk. Yeah, we kind of drink before. Yeah. Oh, like a little bit, like never wasted. Just like
I'd rather be like a little bit drunk for everything I do in my life, but I have to drive the car. So I don't I would love to be a little bit drunk right now.
Totally.
And
if
we're going to go out and have fun and be in front of all those people and they're going to be a little bit drunk, we should be a little bit drunk too.
Yeah.
No, we don't get nervous. You know, I will say that again, we're really,
probably what if I was sober?
I feel very fortunate because we don't have any training or like background in having to perform. Like
you do now.
We get to show up as like friends and people are just really there for like, it's kind of like we're hosts for the evening of like men. Now men come. Men are like, I won't come to that too. So it's sort of like if they're just like, they're there for a good time. If we don't give them a good time, we're shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different. Hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're with like a, like laughter and fun, and we have a lot of segments, and I think we are who we are online. We don't have to be something different. So we get to be us. And if we fuck up, they love it more. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some people been to like 20 shows, maybe 30 shows.
Oh my God. That's amazing. We feel, we definitely feel like for us, cause we do have a writing background, and we like that process, and we like, getting to curate like the show in a certain direction. But then a lot of our show is also crowd work and talking to the ladies. And I think both of us all share the fact that like, there's nothing better than when you look out and you just see like a bunch of women that are there just to have a good time and be with each other.
Yeah,
like I always wish we could take some really baller like photograph that like wasn't dim because of the theater and just show all of them laughing. Cause I'm like, you would look at yourself and know how beautiful you are in this moment. Cause there's nothing sexier than a woman who's in the middle of like a really hard laugh and mouth open and skin is red. I'm always like, that's the goal, man. Like, it's not your size. It's not your makeup. It's not your hair. It's that moment. And I just wish, I think that's what feels good about the audience the most.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, you guys know the audience dictates a show too. Like you just know, like if you can get them, then you've got them. But like sometimes they're there to listen. Some like we've been at some shows where they're on their feet. Like we've been like, and we have a DJ on stage with us too, but they're like fucking on their feet so loud. And we're like trying to talk and they just want to party. Literally stopped and been like,
fuck it. All right. Let's turn the music. Play another song. Let's dance and drink some more.
And so we just have to go with like kind of what they want. Like we're
kind of
like choose your own adventure.
Ooh, yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask businessy kind of questions that I prepared, and mostly because I just think these are genius and I wrote them down. So that's why I'm...
You thought your questions were genius?
Yeah. I said to Kristen, I was like, I think this is a really good question.
Yeah, it is not a good question.
It's because you get asked a lot of the same thing. So you're successful in so many, you're multi-hyphenates,
which means you have a pie and it has many pieces of the pie.
Love that I thought you said hypeness. I thought you called this multi-hypeness. And I was like, oh, I fucking love that.
Multi-hypeness too, also. So you have that, but you have your authors, your podcasters, your performers, I want to talk about your website too, that you guys just started, your subscription website. Mm-hmm. So you're business women and you're very successful. So here's my questions that I think are so genius. Okay. What daily practice or habit do you have that you attribute to your success? Like from each of you, I want to know this because a lot of times you get asked, you're just like, but what's a thing you do? Like you said, you made making videos your job, like making the live your job. So what do you make sure you do every day that gets you achieving success?
We have no process. I think that. Well, no, I really do think that's it because I think that you just go, we have a great team we just recently both started getting medicated and our team sort of knew we're like this, let's go. And then we have people help us execute it. We were like a lot of idea driven people. And I think, she is really good at something. I'm really good at some things. And then we never cross over. Like, it's like, that's your domain. That's my domain. And I think that we just don't think too hard. And I know that's such a shitty answer, but like, we don't overthink anything. And I don't know if that's something you can learn or if that's something that you just live with. But like, when someone's like, what's your biggest failure? I'm like, oh, we literally can't think of what it would be because I know that's so cliche, but we don't see things as failures. It's like, all right, which way do you want to go now? I really do feel like our life is kind of like, here, let's go here. Let's go here. Just what day do you want
to
go there?
My failures from beginning to
And the other thing that I think like for a lot of other opportunities that have come our way. Well, number one, like if we have like an idea or we want to talk to somebody or do something, we don't follow protocol. We just like go to that person. We ask for that thing. And it turns out, you know, everyone we try to teach our kids this too. Like everyone's just a person, right? And if you want something, just ask for it. They might say no, but if you don't ask or you take 6 months to decide to go for it, then you find out it doesn't work out, then that's a total waste of your time. But the other thing we do is
we have no patience to wait for things, right? Like we don't have the patience.
We want the answer now.
Like, we just started with microphones this year on our podcast. podcast. We used to just do it on our phone in the car. And I think we're on like, we're like 21 million downloads from an iPhone that we did on Rec, REC, a free app. And then we, our podcast network was like, you guys should really like, maybe consider
like maybe getting a little bit better sound.
And I'm like, nah. And then finally we're like, fine.
But it was like, it's like we tried so many times, like to like make a studio and like officially do something, and it never worked. And then finally the time was just right. And the space was right. And we could do it in this studio, which is literally her basement playroom, like ping pong table, workout, everything around us.
I think we make our job fit into our life rather than us fit into a job. And I think that, you know, blessing and a curse, because, you know, our kids are often home when we're doing things. We are off with them on summer and holidays. And rather than being like, oh, we're going to work, you'll hear them upstairs screaming. But like, we've just stopped apologizing for having children. And we've stopped apologizing for like taking calls on the road or like in an airport. Like we don't like have to have a designated time for much. We're like, we'll just make it work. Like, it's not going to be perfect, but do you want this? Yes or no? And I think
it's like, kind of the same. And it's the same people that we were when we met in ninth grade. Like just there might be rules that other people follow, but that just doesn't work for us. So we got to make our own. And the only thing that we do and we always have done, and why I think we have a lot of opportunities come to us and people trust us, is that we're consistent. We say yes to things so often. We'll just be like, sure, we can do that. Sure, we can be there. And we always do the work. Like, we always deliver, even though we're all over the place. We always deliver what we need to deliver on time and well.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I do think, just to like maybe say what you don't realize is so cool about you guys, is that you are taking risks every day. Like, some people don't give themselves permission to fail or to like put something up. Like, we'll get a message, and I'm sure you do, from a woman who's like, I want to do this thing. Do you have any advice? And we say, just do it. Like, we'll figure it out. But I think that's awesome that you ladies do that. Like, maybe you make other women and all of your fans feel like, I can just try it. I can fail, and that's okay. It doesn't like define me.
Failing is, I've done it so many times, and it feels bad, but it's not like forever.
No, you know, exactly. Like, it doesn't last that long.
It doesn't last that long. I failed at a Botox thing recently, and that's taking a long time, but ready.
It's just not wearing off.
Yeah. I got a weird Botox on each side of my lip, just to stop my lip from being so gummy when I smile.
I just got it last week.
Oh, I don't like it on me. It's changed my smile, and I feel like I have a Cheshire cat grin. Like, so that's a big fail for me.
I know. No, I got to wait. I got a lip flip once where she put the Botox here, and I was smiling weird. I couldn't drink from a straw. I didn't like the way my face was moving, but this one worked for me. I like it.
I think what I didn't know is that I have a stronger thin lip up top than I knew. So now I'm like, and it just, I'm not happy. So that's one of my fails. That's not what this is about, but I just thought
but that wasn't your fail.
I was like, I was too quick to say yes. I was like, oh, that seems like a good remedy, because I usually just get it right here. And then they go,
who cares? It'll go away.
Well, I remember she told me once, and I have like one of like probably my inherited, one of my best features is my cheekbones. And she was like, why don't we put some filler in your cheekbone? And this was like a long time ago. I said, yes. I'm like, why would I say yes? That's just ridiculous. Now I'm going to be like, you have fake cheekbones, when I had them before. I mean, it's worn off now, but like, I was like, why did I say yes to that? That goes against really what I believe. Anything else anywhere, but not my cheekbones.
Yeah. You don't want to do the good thing. You just want to, you know.
Here's a dumb one that I did, because this woman convinced me that my chin right here had dimpling in it, and that I should get, and I'm more pissed. It does nothing. It does nothing to your chin.
You know what it does to you? It calms down breakouts if you get breakouts in your chin, just so you know.
I do it.
I do it too, because it calmed down. It really does calm down.
You don't want it to look like a raisin.
Yeah, I do it too.
Continue to do it. It's good.
Okay.
Now it made Jen go,
She did a bad job.
Also had Botox one time and she just did a bad job because I get vagina head. I get like the 11s.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so she put it in and looked like I was wearing a monocle. Like my eyebrow was like.
Yeah, that happened to me too. Yep, you really got to be careful with your face.
She looked a little bit like mad, you know, like this part was down, this part was up. And it was just like constantly
only
like
on
that.
One side.
Yeah. I haven't done a lot other than I got my boobs done. Best thing I've ever done. That was a long time ago.
Boobs done like implants?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when I was 30, before kids, and then I had kids, and I don't want to brag. My left one should be in a pamphlet. It's a perfect boob.
Are they both still good?
Awesome. Best thing I ever did for myself. Because I was, when I say that I got boobs, like anybody that knew me pre-surgery, they were like, yeah, that's, it was a good thing for you. Cause I'm athletically built and I just had to, I was staying super thin to sort of make sense of my body. And then I was like, I can't stay this thin. Like this is not, I could. So I just pulled the trigger. And when
how
I was
bigger
30,
than
I got,
now,
I think I'm a 34C.
Wow. Do you have to get them redone?
I'm sure somebody in the plastics world is saying yes, but I'm saying not until something's growing out of them because I'm not going to mess with it. Cause it's like the one good thing that I did. I'm telling you, it's like, I'm so happy I did that. And then after I had kids, they got heavy because I nursed, I had all the, it was a very good experience for me. And so then now they fell. Now they look a little too real, which was not what I paid
for. I looked up a boob lift this morning. Oh, literally,
the recovery. They're a little painful from what I hear.
Okay, so that's what I looked at, recovery. I was like,
Listen, I feel like whatever you're into, do. If it makes you feel good. That at 30 years old, I was like, why didn't I do this earlier? I just felt like I wore a boobie shirt one time and then the next day I was wearing t-shirts and jeans. And I was like, oh, this is just me. This just feels like me. And no one ever comes up and is like, I can tell you have fake boobs. I think it's because my rolls underneath support.
She
that
always
I would have.
Wears a turtleneck kind of stuff. So there's no seeing those guys.
My husband's like, for somebody that has fake boobs, you literally like for me, like a like look at my turtleneck right now. Like me wearing this is like very scandalous.
Yeah, cowl neck.
It's for like, yourself. Your boobs are really for you.
They're for me. And I'm glad I did it, but I have not had a great experience with anything else I've done, which has been like, you know, I got the monocle eyeball. I got the weird lip with Botox. So I'm like real careful. I just don't do a lot of that because I get freaked out. I think I would do it all, but I don't want to because it scares me.
Scary. I would do anything.
You would, yeah, Jen would literally do everything. Jen would, if Jen could be put in some sort of capsule and then just all of it whipped together at one go.
I'm going to be like cryogenically frozen. And
I'd do anything.
I do absolutely anything. Another question that I have for you. So you ladies launched this amazing website called thecommonparent.com, which we're going to need to subscribe to, by the way, because it's all about teens and tweens, right?
I think you're saying I need to subscribe to it, but I like that you said
you
the
do.
Way we.
Yeah. You will look at your son, like you will understand him better. You'll like know how, you'll have like tools in your toolbox of how to actually like communicate with him and the common parent, we have these experts and it's like the Cole's notes for parent, Cliff notes for parenting. And they're tiny little bite-sized things that I swear, like now when my daughter's acting like such an idiot, I can think in my head what the experts say is actually happening.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
To a girl at the age of 14 going through this. And I'm like, don't actually hate you.
We did it based on like just kind of like the internet's overwhelming and there's so many theories and so many books and you know, you just don't have time to do it. And you just want the answer now. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to go read for 3 weeks on a book and
to find out that's not the book with the answer.
Yeah. And really it's about, God, it's so basic, but it's like communicating skills, which are never taught. And it's how to parent because you go from taking care of a kid to having to parent a kid, which is two very different things.
Sure.
And you don't want them to be you want them to be them. So how do you put boundaries in with allowing them to be themselves without like crushing them and then making them feel bad about themselves and shame? Because so much of parenting is like, why are you doing that? Like that's so like that we judge them via parenting. So really it's just about trying to let them grow but also become independent so they're not in your basement when they're 23 or 25 or 35 and you didn't do your job because you were too like, you know, whatever it is. So really, oh my God, it blows my mind all the time. And you know, we also have a like a free newsletter for like the parenting. It's called The Cap.
Oh, you got to subscribe to that. It's free. It's so good.
We just did a roundup of like how the CDC just came out with that massive report of girls being like teen girls being in such a bad place, like in such a bad place. And they still don't know why, like they haven't correlated why. And they also haven't correlated like what we can do yet about it because it's just so new still. But we give like tips in there based on other research, but we just kind of try to sum up all of the topics in a really short form because a lot of things overlayer. Like, you know, it's a lot the same of like how to connect with your child. And I think the biggest thing we did and we learned after like three years of the Common Parent, we launched a journal, which is like between you and your child, where what we've learned is it's not so much about talking at them. It's just showing up for them. And when your teenager doesn't want you because everything's a negative interaction, when you show up and we like send email, you get an email from the team about what to write in the journal, just being like, hey, I was driving today and I thought about that time you helped me. I'm just so thankful for you. Validating them in a way that isn't like, we're so just like, I love you. Have a great day. Night. It's just showing up in a way that they can actually ingest because like so often they just say hi and you want to rip their heads off and they want to rip your heads off. Like even just the way you look, like, ugh. So, but they need you more than ever, ever. Yeah. So it's really cool. It's a really, it's been a really, and some people write in the journal, like the parents are just always like, you know, writing and processing for the child. And then we've had stories of kids coming out in the journal, kids letting their parents know they've been cutting, kids letting their, you know, really serious topics they've shared in a journal.
It's so easy for them to write it down and not as easy to look you in the eyes and talk about their big feelings or things that are going on with them. But if they can write it in the journal and know that you're going to read it and just, you know, deal with it. It also gives.
Can I put a journal entry into my son's journal?
Yeah.
Just a few quick pages, tip. 7 or 8 of just explaining to him why he's lucky to have me. Yeah, I just feel like if he, if I give it to him on written page and I'm like, these are why I'm awesome. Is that a step in the right direction?
By the way, he does know you're awesome.
Can I bring it down? That is what I'm known for. So our neighbor passed away.
Like, oh my God.
2 weeks ago. No, but this is like one of those things where I'm like, do I post about this or is this too sad to post about? But like,
are they old?
She had kids late. And so she was late 60s, but her son's only 24. So she was like, didn't meet a guy, gonna have a baby. And so it was just she and her son that lived next door to us. And so we were so worried about him because that still feels like a baby to like be parentless. Yeah. At like 24.
Yeah.
So he's really sweet. And so we went to the funeral. And when he spoke, the things that he talked about were how much she drove him places. He went on and he calculated, did like Google Maps to see how, because he went to your son's school. So she drove him like 40 minutes to school in the morning and then an hour and a half to her job and then would go pick him up at the end of the day. He was like, thank you for making me do music lessons that I never wanted to do. And he said, thank you for making a green bean casserole. And nobody likes to go to a funeral, but I was like, I needed to hear that all this stuff that feels useless and means nothing is what they will talk about at your funeral.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I would just like him to talk about it before I'm dead.
He won't.
I feel that.
Maybe your 50th wedding anniversary.
Yeah. And then he'll send me like a very sincere, ain't that the truth? That's another podcast.
That's so long, 50 years. Mm. Oh my God, 50 years. I told my kids recently, I'm like, just so you know, wait a long time because we're living a lot longer. So like, don't think in your 20s that you should be hooking up with someone because you don't want to make it to your 90th wedding anniversary. Oh, like I'd rather be
so boring.
I do. My husband and I got married older and he's 8 years older than me. And I threaten him every day. I'm like, put that fucking sandwich down. You better live a long, long time because I'm not done with you.
I'm you want to make it to your 90th wedding anniversary.
I do.
She's really nice about him. Meanwhile, with my husband, I'm like,
today, I like
maybe,
him.
Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe we just high five and bounce. I don't know.
But I'm stuck with him.
I'm stuck with him and I've gamed it out. I'm like, I never think about like, I never think about divorce in terms of what divorce actually is. And I think that's a good sign. Cause like, if you are someone who has found yourself in a marriage that just is completely depleted and you are going to divorce, that is so, it's a big deal. It's a sad thing. It's like a traumatic thing. But in my head, I never think about divorce. I just think about him going somewhere else. Like, yeah, I just think like,
I've been watching the show Shrinking. It's brand new.
It's great. It's great.
I was dying last night when the neighbor is like freaking out because her husband's retiring.
Yes.
And she's like, I like him for an hour and 45 minutes a day and that's it. And now he's going to be home all day and I'm going to die. Like, you know, it was so relatable because she's like, COVID. She's like, he has an expiry and I can't, I'm about to lose my mind because I've lost everything else. And now he's here. I was laughing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's so true. And my husband is like around a lot right now. And like, we're so similar that like, he would have exactly the same things to say if he were sitting here. It's just, you know what? He can go get his podcast and then have at it. But like,
exactly.
It does feel like marriage is tough in that world where we are together so much that if we are not together so much when we are together, it's really fun. But if we're together for a long time, then we're just irritated with each other and then it's not fun. So the idea of 50 years makes me sigh heavily because I've been around him so much lately.
I should say too, he's my second husband. So it's not all like...
Oh,
yeah, those ones are better. Yeah, that's different. Is it his second marriage too?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Oh, see, they kind of have to have a coming to Jesus moment and then they're different people, but they don't usually do that until something happens in their life.
I believe that the come to Jesus was when, well, Jen and I met and became instant fast friends, and she had just like days after we met. Her now husband.
She met my husband like a day before I met him.
Yes.
In the universe. It's crazy.
And then I was at the dog park and she had described him. And I was like, I think that guy that you were talking about is here right now. And because I knew him from the day before. And I was like, 100% here. He's not flirting with anybody. That's good. Like, I've got eyes on him. I'm behind a tree. I'm like, his dog seems nice. This is good. And then they date. Like, I always say, like, I was their third because they dated for like, ever. And I was very single. And like, they would have date night and I'd be like, I'm going to come with you guys. And then I would leave and then she'd have to put out. It was great. But then I met my husband.
I think she wanted to. She
wanted to.
I did.
For 5 years or 4 years or whatever. And then I met my husband. I met my husband and I think she always makes the joke. I met him on a Thursday and I was pregnant on a Tuesday. And then we met, got married, got pregnant so fast, like all within like less than a year, like 8 months.
Fast.
And so it all happened.
You're busy beavers over there.
My beaver was busy.
Very busy. Yeah. Very busy. You know, it's like the national animal in Canada. So if I didn't say beaver once, it would have been a problem.
Yeah, you guys, you had to bring up hockey. You had to bring up the beaver and you should at some point say, you should correct how we should not say Toronto.
No, it's I say Toronto. I say Toronto.
She does say it like that.
I say Toronto.
Toronto.
We had Toronto. An assistant that was Canadian and she
would
really
get mad at us. Yeah. She was from Toronto.
And she said Toronto, but I remember hearing it. My father-in-law would always call it Toronto. And I was like, why is he named it? Like,
yeah.
I don't mind when you say it like that. I just don't really like it when he says it.
We are so grateful that you
came
on our
podcast. Yes, thank you guys. This
I
was
can't
really
tell you
cool.
enough. It was so fun to meet you. And last time we talked
to you.
But
you were on ours. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, like, when we met you, you were on ours. Okay, I was like,
I answered one of the questions there and I pranked Kat and you didn't bring it up. I wrote the answer.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Kat's not really into celebs because she's so desperately madly in love with her husband. I thought
That's
that
so
was
funny,
genuine.
But it's not so funny when you're like that.
I try to find one. I really try. I, you know, celebrities don't do it for me, unfortunately. Like, they just don't do it for me. I
have so many.
Let me be honest. I do have a hockey player thing. Because we grew up in the Midwest, and I dated several hockey players, rugby players. Dated. I like a date. Yeah, dated.
French kissed.
Wait, did I ever tell you guys that story when we were in your hometown and people thought we were you?
Yes. Yes.
And then and we're like, no, we're not them. It's the wrong.
We're back to see you.
It's
we're
the
like,
wrong show.
Never
it's the wrong show. And it was,
I'm not going to be happy.
It was the best shit in the world. I'll never forget it. It never,
that's
ever.
Amazing.
It was so good.
God, how did you like, tell me one of your celebrity crushes just so I can imagine?
Well, like so many. I mean,
give me one.
Where do you want me to go?
Our big
Jason
one.
Momoa, Sam Hugen.
Sam Hugen.
Ralph Macchio from Karate
Kid.
That
guy that dances.
My
William Zabka from Karate Kid. Johnny from Karate Kid. Then and now.
Oh.
The guy that dances.
Yeah, thank you. Keep going.
TikTok.
But this, here's another quick question before we're done. Is what podcast do you like to listen to? Do you have time even to listen to other podcasts?
You know who I actually listen to? I try to do audio on the plane. You know, we're on the plane a lot. Like, I find it a good place, but I've been getting into movies recently. I do like Gary Vee because it's so quick and short. I know it's so cliche.
He's all right.
I don't know.
Sometimes he has like, he's just quick into the, I like the 20 minute podcast. You know, when I can learn something in 20 minutes.
Gary Vee is very fast.
Yes.
He talks fast.
Yes.
He's got a lot to say. I'm like,
listen, it's really repetitive. A lot of it is really repetitive, but sometimes,
Go to a garage sale. Get something. Make the money.
He's bang on what's coming up. Like he's very intuitive what he's like the new, like, you know what I mean? He knows the shit that's happening. I don't listen to his life advice. It's like, here's what's coming. And he's usually like bang on.
He is
on.
Right. He's got his thumb on the pulse of all that. I just get annoyed when he's like, why did you need to go to college? You don't need to go to college. Just give them money and let them.
I don't listen to it religiously. It's just if there's something coming out, like GP chat or like, you know, the chat bots and all that shit. I'm like, that is
does motivate you.
Or Catfish.
Whoa.
Oh.
Which one?
Catfish.
Smartless and Catfish.
Oh.
No, like Catfish, like show, like, you know?
Yeah. That guy is so hot. The host.
Who's hot?
The host of Catfish. Yeah. He was on Dancing with the Stars. I was like, what? Yeah. And he was.
I know, he looked really good.
Great.
Yeah. I also always try to find the podcast of where they tell the story of like what happened to their breakup. You know, when you have like the one story, like it's on the podcast, I'll hunt for the juice of what actually happened. But it's not like once, like whoever is the hot person of like the moment that's broken up with someone and is talking about it on like Call Her Daddy will have a guest who's like, that did not happen. Like,
yep.
Yeah, Call Her Daddy's great.
She's too fast moving for me.
Oh God, you can't listen to Gary Vee.
You do Gary Vee quickly when you want to learn something about the industry we're living in. Like that's
He's also a motivator.
I'm not there for the motivation. Just sort of like when Bitcoin or like, you know, when all of that was happening, that was interesting. Yeah. He had a lot of interesting, like he put it like in a very, he puts it in a very basic way. Like it's like kind of like, you know what I mean? So you can like, got it. And then you can
I see what you mean on that. I can agree with that. Yeah. I think I just would, I find that watching Thirst Traps is more educational.
Mm-hmm. She loves murder. Like she loves murder. Anything
murder.
I saw the best murder. Dateline yesterday. Oh my God.
I think I probably watched it. Which one was it?
Watch it? A young girl in the small town college. She was murdered with the belt around her neck and then her throat slit with two different knives. And everyone looked like a suspect. Her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend's father.
Was she left in the church? Was she left in the church?
No, she's just in her apartment.
I know that one.
You know who it was?
Oh, God, fine.
That was close. It's really good. It was like, because sometimes you're like, I know who it is. Like, and we watch it for two hours.
It's the husband.
Boyfriend. Yeah.
So unexpected. I was getting my lashes done on my bed and the girl that did my lashes, she's like, I can't leave. She's like, you have to text me and tell me who did it. And I did. She was like, people are fucking crazy.
Okay. Don't say it. Cause I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm going to find it and I'm going to watch it. I literally last night was
just
like,
so you know, we're in Canada. So it's about, we're probably 5 years behind what you just got. So you probably watched it like 7 years ago.
I actually Googled the murderer and he comes up. And so it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
So okay. I'm going to watch it.
I'll watch it too.
Ladies, this has been so fun. Yeah. Thank you for
You guys in LA? You're in LA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we come to LA a lot and we should do cocktails when we get there and probably like smoke a joint and then probably do a podcast about it.
Oh my God, I would do that with you.
Yes. Let's do that, please. Honestly.
Would you do that? Would you both do that? Because that'd be so fun.
Are you coming to Toronto?
When are you guys back on tour?
we're back on tour at the end of May, or we actually do our first like Southern California show at a club in April. And then the official show will start end of May, June, July.
I think we do one in Vancouver.
We have one in Vancouver.
Yeah, that is from.
That's what people always do. They go to Vancouver.
Well, like, that was our leftover from COVID. We did Canada. We are hoping.
You did Hamilton. Ladies, you did Hamilton. You did Hamilton. You did not do Toronto.
We did Toronto on our first. We did Canada twice.
Well, what happened was we had.
We might have done Hamilton. Yeah, she might be right.
We did.
Yeah, you were not in Toronto.
We weren't. Yeah, we ate
there. Stayed there. We shopped there. You guys have
maybe your first one.
Yeah,
maybe. But we, to answer your question, no, not at this point. But we would like to add. We just did Canada. We were in Winnipeg, Calgary. We were supposed to do Vancouver. We've been in Kitchener. We've been in
good memory.
Hamilton. Kitchener, I love that you just remembered Kitchener.
Well, we have a, you know, little Canadian brag here for you guys. Okay. So from Kitchener is Chris Williams, who is my neighbor, who is the director of the Sea Beast.
Trey,
we're
probably editing all this out.
No, absolutely not. It's a brag. It's my Canadian brag. They're like, I am obsessed with them. They're very, very good friends. And he just directed the Sea Beast, which he is nominated for an Academy Award. He's from Kitchener. And his mom, who's so cool and spicy, was like one of the artistic directors at the theater that we played at. And so that's how this like weird he was like, nobody's been to my hometown. And I was like, I have, literally 2 weeks ago, and played for a bunch of awesome ladies in Canada. And so there you go. Big props.
I wish you told me he was the producer of Cocaine Grizzly.
Do you mean the Cocaine Bear? Do you guys have a different name because it's in Canada?
It's an elevated name. A bear gets into cocaine and always on my TV. And the bear
you think
goes
I'm not going to that?
It's based on a true story.
Based on a true story.
It's insanity. So are you doing shows in LA or you?
No, we're just coming to do podcasts and we have to do a speaking event in Fresno, but we're going to fly to LA and then go. Actually, fun fact, we're flying in a stripper from Australia to do a show in Toronto.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh, because it's that good. It's that good.
We'll just help you. Whatever you need.
We're doing like a collab with the Magic Mike crew. Like, so it'll be like a, Magic Men. I forget.
Magic Men. But I just wish it wasn't in Toronto.
I know. So they're all
coming to
Toronto.
Let us know. Listen, here's the thing. There's airplanes and we need excuses to leave.
Perhaps we'll be there in May.
Okay.
In May.
We'll catch you when we're there in May.
Let us know.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye, you guys.
Thank you so much. It's been so great to have you.